So let's transition to our next passage of the month. It's Matthew chapter 28, 1 through 10. It is the Revised Common Lectionary passage for Easter Sunday on April the 9th. Mandy, would you read it for us, please?
I love Easter Sunday. I get to read that passage. So, yes. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet and worshipped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me."
Hallelujah. Praise God. It is Resurrection Sunday. And I don't know if you struggle with this, Mandy, but I sure do. It's when it's Holy Week, I get a sense of just this feeling of I'm an imposter syndrome. Like how do I ever preach a sermon on Easter Sunday? How is that done? Well, of course, it's by the Spirit, but it's always quite intimidating and overwhelming. But there is so much to say and so little time in a sermon and, of course, in a podcast like this, but we try. So what Christological thoughts would you like to share in light of this passage?
Yeah, I'm just struck when we're reading this in tandem with the previous passage that, again, the good news comes from something that's empty. Like, it's just the opposite of what human beings do. If I was going to be God, I would do something much more spectacular than just leave an empty space.
Yes.
And so I think there's something really beautiful about God's willingness, his true trust in what happens in the small things, in even the emptiness, that he sees the miracle of what can happen when, you know, it's not spectacular in the way that we would expect spectacular things. Although, of course, it is spectacular that soon they're to see his risen body. And what an amazing thing. We can't even wrap our heads around that. Beyond just, you know, if you had a friend who died and then came back to life, that's one thing, just to see someone that you love again. But then to think, okay, and we believe this person to be the Son of God, and what does this mean for everybody, not just those who've been friends with him? So I'd love to try when I do enter into preaching this passage, and I hear you on that, who am I to speak such a wonderful truth? But I think in some ways, I have a friend who says, awe can lead us, well, he says anxiety can be expressed either, it can kind of devolve into this like wrestling, or it can also be an invitation into awe. And so I think what we feel in that lead up to Easter Sunday is a sense of the weight of what this thing is.
Yes.
And that weight can press us down and say, I'm just a small human being. Who am I to carry this message? Or it can kind of move into a space of awe, of like, yes, this is massive and I am only small, but the mystery of it, you know, I think in some ways that's an invitation into a little bit of an invitation into a small part of the experience of what they experienced on the day of what on earth have we been given to carry on this day? We don't even understand it, but we're going to proclaim it anyway. And, you know, those women didn't have a chance before they ran to tell the disciples to figure out what on earth they had just seen and to fully understand it. But they spoke with the joy of it anyway. And that's the only thing I can do on Easter Sunday.
You know, you're mentioning the context you see that aligns with Philippians, you know, that the emptiness that is there. And I think it was Barbara Brown Taylor, I once read her talking about how new life often starts in the dark, you know, whether it's a seed in the ground, a baby in the womb, Jesus in the tomb, right? Mm-hmm. So even when it's dark about us, that may not be the true reality, because mm-hmm. beyond it is something beautiful. And I sometimes hear people say, Mandy, and maybe you've heard the same, that the disciples abandoned Jesus at his death. And there was abandonment, of course, but I also see the women, you know, mm-hmm. going to him and being the evangelist, if you will, sharing this great message. Tell us about it.
Yeah. And that is really, I know a lot of women who feel called to proclaim the good news are very encouraged by this passage, especially if they're in contexts that don't affirm them in their calling. I'm really hesitant to say, you know, because I always want to be welcoming to my brothers, and I never want sure. to communicate from the pain of the experience, as you know, my experience as a woman in the church. It's hard for me to communicate from that because I also want to bring healing between men and women, and I don't want to perpetuate all of the brokenness between men and women. And at the same time, I think it is really good to share. It is really painful, you know, to feel that calling and to not always be given an opportunity to share it. But the interesting thing for me, because I don't know if I've shared this with you, but the denomination I was a part of in the US did not ordain women for leadership. And that was the seminary I went to and also the churches I served. And so I was the first female lead pastor among a communion of 6,000 congregations. Which put me in a really, really difficult space as a young adult in college and then in the process. And I'm not an aggressive person. I'm not an ambitious person. I hate the limelight. I hate conflict. I'm a 9 on the Enneagram, if you care about those things. So it's been incredibly painful for me. But all of that is to say, the ways that, and I think if I've ever had abuse, it has come from ways that people have treated me in that whole context. But every single time somebody has not received me or has not treated me in the way that that Christ would treat me or has not recognized what God is doing in me, and I've had some really, really painful experiences, every single time it has been an invitation for me to talk to the Lord again and to say, who are you again? What are we doing here again? Who do you say I am again? And so for anyone who's marginalized, which is not just along gender lines, but many different ways people are marginalized, it can be a really empowering experience if it becomes an opportunity for us to say once more, who are you again? Who am I again? And so, and I saw this in COVID too. So when everything hits the fan, it's often those who have been on the margins, for whom the system has not been functioning anyway, who actually have real leadership to offer in that space. And that's how I see this passage. You know, these women were not given much of anything really in the system. And so when the status quo falls apart, they have something that enables them to press through. And so I think that's just what wisdom for us to look for because at the moment I think everything is hitting the fan, not just because of COVID, because of all kinds of factors that are bringing us to a place of crisis in the church and around the world. So how do we listen to the voices who are saying, you know what, before you were aware that the system was falling apart, it wasn't serving me anyway, and I've had to function within the system according to the kingdom. So, you know, how can we invite those people to be leading as these women had the opportunity to when Jesus was dying and coming back to life? Mm.
Amen and amen. And I want to say to you, Mandy, we don't know each other, but I sure am thankful for you and admire you for especially saying yes to the invitation to be the first ordained women in your space. It's a beautiful thing. And we thank God for your ministry.